Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. As this weekend marks the first 100 days of the Donald Trump presidency, we're going to hear from some of the experts at UBS who had set out their expectations for the new administration prior to the inauguration and who've been tracking its progress through its formative weeks. They'll run the rule over the Trump White House in terms of decision-making, policy implementation, diplomacy and global engagement. We'll browse the UBS CIO team's flagship POTUS 45 reports and chart how the new president has performed against the early expectations. We start with Tom McLaughlin in New York City, co-head of the CIO Fundamental Research Team. Some first impressions. We spent the months from November through to January talking about how unpredictable Trump might be. Has that been the case?
Well, I think he's lived up to expectations, that's for sure. I think the word that best describes the first 3 months of the administration is chaotic. It's been a pretty steep learning curve for the new president. He had some early mistakes from serious issues such as poorly written executive orders on immigration to more superficial arguments over the size of the crowd at his inauguration, both of which put him on the defensive. So I think this is an administration which had some very different ideas how they wanted to proceed, but has not been staffed with a lot of Washington veterans. And I think that placed his early actions at somewhat of a disadvantage.
Does Mike Ryan, chief investment strategist, UBS Wealth Management Americas, feel that Trump's predicted unpredictability has been the story?
In the first 100 days, what we've gotten is the following. First of all, is that the administration has set a pretty ambitious agenda. If you think about the things they've scoped out as potential focal points for policy change, it includes tax reform, regulatory relief, key spending initiatives, especially infrastructure, but then engagement in terms of changing with regard to trade policy, immigration policy, and then lastly, how do we engage on the world stage from a foreign policy perspective? So this is a pretty big, ambitious agenda for an administration to carve out. I think what we've also seen at the same time they've carved out a really ambitious agenda is that the leadership approach, style, and experience has been uneven. I think there's been a few missteps. I think obviously there's been some mixed messages coming out from the administration, partly from the president, also from other leaders within the administration. And then also, we also have a new leader within Congress as well. Remember that, you know, Paul Ryan is now the Speaker of the House. His experience has largely been on the policy development side rather than the legislative delivery process. So I think it's taking time for him to kind of find his legs as well in terms of being a legislative leader. So I would say in terms of how we're assessing it, it has been certainly event-filled. We've seen lots of activity in terms of what the administration wants to focus on, but we haven't yet seen any tangible results of deliverables. So we really need to continue to focus on not only just what they've committed to try to do, but also their ability to execute on that. So these are the things I think we'll have to judge this administration on.
Next, we asked Jason Dreo, head of tactical asset allocation for the Americas, whether that post-election, pre-inauguration narrative of unpredictability has defined the first 100 days of Donald Trump.
It's almost, you know, given his kind of history and sort of the way he behaved on the campaign, it's unpredictable, but at the same time, you could say it's almost sort of predictably unpredictable, and that he's just, you know, Donald being Donald in this case, or Trump being Trump, in that his behavior as president has been very kind of consistent with his behavior as the campaigner. And so the hope that once he became president, that somehow he would become a little more presidential hasn't really materialized. You know, there's been a few kind of moments and good different speeches where he's kind of come across in that way, but his behavior, with hindsight, we could say it was kind of, you know, consistent with what he's always been like.
And to John Savicol, head of the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy, we asked him about whether predictions surrounding Donald Trump's predictability or unpredictability were right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it has been tough from the standpoint of trying to predict or project certain developments. It's been very difficult in this administration, partially because of the president himself, and also because of the fact that he doesn't have a lot of his staff with him yet. So a lot of the cabinet secretaries are still understaffed, and there's a lot of chaos with regards to their work level. So there are a lot of reasons why, but certainly it's much harder to project what might happen with this president and where he wants to take this administration versus other presidents who have been more predictable and a little more reliable in terms of matching up their statements with their actions.
Let's reflect next on the POTUS 45 reports from UBS. Going back to the first such report, it outlined the likely investment implications of Trump's administration. Are we now working to a new set of rules, in Tom McLaughlin's view?
I think so. And again, it probably goes back to the fact that Mr. Trump is a businessman at heart. He likes to keep those on the other side of the negotiating table off balance. And as a consequence, the policy formulation has been a bit inconsistent. There were certain pillars to his domestic agenda, right? There was infrastructure, tax reform, and of course, first and foremost, healthcare reform. And the failure to execute a healthcare reform legislation has basically placed the administration on the defensive. On the other hand, his proposals to make the regulatory environment in Washington more lenient has been very well received by the markets. So from an investment implication standpoint, the lighter regulation that was anticipated in the financial markets, for example, obviously led to a boost in the valuation of financial stocks.
To Jason Dreo next for his view on whether there's almost a new set of rules. Now Trump's been in the White House for 100 days.
Not exactly. I guess the way I would describe, you know, the first 100 days thus far, or almost the first 100 days, is we almost have like one of more questions than answers. And so that it isn't a new set of kind of rules that we have to figure out, but still waiting for kind of the first set of rules, so to speak. So we're still waiting for kind of clarity on what they want to do on different terms of policies, such as tax policy, healthcare reform. So there's a lot of unanswered questions. So I wouldn't say it's a new set of rules. It's more of how do we kind of recalibrate in terms of what we can expect this administration to accomplish. Expectations were certainly very high right after the election. I think, you know, investors have now tamped those down considerably. So it's really a question of like what of the initial agenda can they accomplish.
Whether or not there's a new set of rules in Washington, D.C., we asked John Savicol the same question.
I think we are working through a new set of rules, and we don't know what those rules are yet. Some old rules remain intact, but I think Trump has the potential of changing the makeup of the presidency and what we expect out of a president. It's too early to conclude that, but I think that's his intent, and I think that's kind of what's on the back of people's minds when they try to project what this president is going to do on certain issues. He changes his position on issues with more frequency, and he's just such an outsider that I think the system is being changed every day. And, you know, whether that's a good or bad thing, only time will tell. But certainly, from the standpoint of a Washington veteran, things are very different here. There's a very different feel for this presidency and his interaction with the media, his interaction with voters. Again, not to say that it's good or bad, it's just very different.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll ask our panel to share their unique insights into both those issues that have worried them since the inauguration and to share some early concerns that might have dissipated since Trump took office. Next on the programme, we're going to consider Donald Trump's inexperience. Do our experts feel that the president has been exposed for his personal and his team's lack of government or legislative experience? Mike Ryan, first.
When you have someone who comes in from his experience largely in the private sector, not in the public sector, there's a different way of doing things and certainly expectations. And as I said before, when you have a House leadership that's also relatively new in terms of driving policy initiatives through, you're going to have an uneven take-up. Now, the critical issue here is not just that the administration has certainly had some missteps, but what they learn from those missteps, whether they change their approach, and whether they're able to also galvanize support within their own party. Remember, the missteps that we saw from the early action, at least the attempts on the ACA, for example, which is the Affordable Care Act, these were largely self-inflicted wounds where Republicans did not necessarily get all their ducks in a row beforehand and walk in with a united front. So I think part of what they're going to have to focus on is how do they make sure that they find common ground within the party, and then you wind up taking the legislative initiative through. So look, there's lots of time. It's still early in administration. Remember, 4 years is a long time, and there's lots of opportunities for the administration to shift their focus a bit, change the approach, and also learn from the missteps.
Examples like the travel ban or the failure to get his Obamacare replacement through loom large when we consider Trump's inexperience. But could there be something different at play in Jason Dreo's view?
I mean, there's certainly a lack of experience. Any new administration takes time to get up and running, put the team in place. It's not just on day one, but it can take at least a few months to fill out various positions throughout the different government agencies. So there you have to kind of cut any new administration some slack. This one seems to be kind of particularly struggling with having sort of an overall coherent message. So it's one thing to not have the right infrastructure in place. It's another to not have a clear governing ideology of a few things they want to accomplish. And that really kind of ultimately starts with Trump himself, and that he had sort of very sort of general ideas of what he wanted to do on tax policy. It wasn't a kind of well-worked-out policy. And it's not as if it's a kind of a core conviction that for 15, 20, 30 years he's been believing this is what we should have in terms of tax policy, in terms of government policy. He's oscillated quite considerably over time. And I think as a result of that, the team he's put in place has kind of different views and conflicting agendas, and they don't get clear guidance from the top. And I think that that's kind of fueled an environment where there's been a lot of conflicting views coming out of the administration, obviously a lot of conflict, and that just impairs the whole policymaking process. And that's kind of, gets us to where we are today without a lot of kind of real policy action done thus far.
Let's get more of the Washington, D.C. insider view next. Has the Trump team been hamstrung by lack of relevant experience? John Savickal thinks so.
I think it's fair to criticize the president for making some rookie mistakes. He is new to office. He's never done this before, so I think it's understandable that he would slip a few times. Moreover, the people he brought to office with him, many of them, especially in the key areas, are also newcomers to government. So I think you're going to see this rough patch where some of these people who are experienced in many other areas and in many other places of work, they will slowly adjust to Washington and they'll find a way to make it work. But I think it is a fair criticism to make of him that there's been several times where he stumbled in these first 100 days, and they've been largely due to this rough transition from being a candidate to being the leader. There's certain ways you have to get things done, and while he is engaged in the long-term process of changing some of those things, in the short term, you have to know how to draft a legal document the right way so that it will withstand court challenges. You have to find a way to unify the Republican caucus to get a health care bill. You have to find a way to talk to world leaders that may not set off an international incident. All of these things are things that he will learn how to do with time, and he will do them his own way. And they may be different than past presidents, but he will find his way. I think it's safe to say that after 100 days, this administration is still settling and is still looking to find its feet and its grounding in a lot of different areas.
Finally on the program, we canvassed our experts on whether there are things that are worrying them now that hadn't previously, or vice versa. Does Tom McLaughlin, for example, draw reassurance from anything in the first 100 days?
Reassurance is something that I probably can't offer you or your listeners. I think this is the jury is out. I am somewhat mollified by the actions taken by the administration, not so much in terms of a more muscular foreign policy, but rather that there is an acknowledgement implicit in those actions that we're going to have to basically be far more engaged and receptive to alternative views that are being presented to the administration from other governments around the world, in Europe and in Asia. So I guess for the last couple of weeks, my level of anxiety has been reduced to some degree, again, with the acknowledgement that this tax reform bill is ever so important for determining exactly how successful this administration is going to be, and frankly, on the outlook of the markets, because I think, again, it's going to have a even though earnings will drive stock prices and equity markets generally, the perception and the sentiment of how the market is going to perform over the next couple of years will be greatly influenced by the prospect for tax reform legislation. So that's the thing to really watch.
And to Mike Ryan next. Are there things that worry him less now than before, or vice versa? What he's concerned about first.
Any administration only has a finite amount of political capital they can expend. And the more of it that gets spent up front or gets wasted, perhaps you spend it on the wrong things or you mismanage a process, it means there's less political capital that can be spent for other things. So my concern is that if the administration has any more missteps and they basically waste some of that political capital, it's going to make it really, really hard for them to deliver upon some of the other things that are really important from a market standpoint, which I would focus largely, again, on tax reform, regulatory relief, and certainly what we see in terms of potential for infrastructure. So those are the things I'm a bit concerned about. What I'm more optimistic about is that I think there's a level of pragmatism that's beginning to emerge. I think there was lots of focus on, you know, the tweet of the day and sort of, you know, stray or random remarks, and that, you know, were these meant to be interpreted literally? I think what you're starting to see now is that this president has been open to guidance from, you know, some experienced people within either his cabinet or from leadership positions. Remember, there's a lot of folks who have business experience and understand how important trade, immigration, you know, these issues are for American businesses. So I think what I'm a little bit more encouraged by is that we're starting to see some of the kind of the hardline stance on certain issues are being softened a bit, and I think you're seeing a bit more of a pragmatic approach to it. So that's one thing I would say that's been more encouraging to me over the course of the last several weeks.
And a final word on this from John Savakul, both in terms of increased or diminished worries and in terms of the longer term challenges crystallized by the first 100 days of Trump. He had this to say.
The foreign policy challenges are significant for this administration. They're significant for any administration. And I think that the sense was that George W. Bush may have been a little too aggressive. I mean, this from the voters' perspective, that he may have been a little too aggressive. Obama may have been a little too passive. And what will Trump be? And I think that he will find his way, and he is finding his way. And I'm encouraged by some of the relationships he's built, some of the actions he's taken. I don't think he is acting from a shoot-from-the-hip mentality, as many people feared. So I think so far so good, although there have been problem areas, too, that he's kind of stumbled into that he needs to improve, like situation with Mexico and some other things. I think the longer-term challenge we face as a country, and this has even gotten worse, I think, over the first 100 days, is how do we pay for things in this country? We have a long wish list of things that voters want from government, but we don't have a long list of how to pay for those things. So when Americans want a tax reform bill that involves big tax cuts for corporations and individuals, how are we going to pay for those things? If the president doesn't want to touch the entitlement programs, how are they going to be sustained on a long-term basis? How are we going to fund a new infrastructure bill? How are we going to increase defense spending? How are we going to build a wall? All those things are ambitious plans, and many of them are very good, but the question of how do you pay for them has kind of been shunned to the sidelines. And I think that from a political perspective, both parties have lost their will to pay for these things and to not add to the deficit and to really take the whole idea of our budget deficit and our federal debt. I think those are the domestic concerns that will only rise in prominence over the next year or so. And that, to me, is a bigger worry today than it was 100 days ago.
And that's John Savakul bringing us to the end of this 134th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.